Hello there, and welcome to this episode of the Movies in Focus podcast. I'm Niall Braun. Joe Stevenson's Dr. Jekyll was the first Hammer horror film released since the company was purchased by its new owner, the perfectly named John Gore. An entertaining throwback feature with a modern twist, this new imagining of Robert Louis Stevenson's iconic tale stars Eddie Izzard and Scott Chambers. Izzard is the titular Jekyll, while Chambers plays the young man hired to assist the reclusive doctor. Izzard's take on Dr. Jekyll is creepy and subtle, but Scott Chambers impresses as the young man who is eager to make his second chance in life work. Chambers is an up-and-coming actor-producer who has produced over 100 low-budget films over the last 10 years or so, one of those being the controversial success, Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. Scott Chambers joins this episode of the podcast to talk about Dr. Jekyll, the rebirth of Hammer films, the horror genre, as well as Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2. As always, I hope you enjoy what we have to talk about.
Hiya, Scott.
Hi, how are you?
I'm all right. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you. 1 second. And my video should be on now. Oh, hello.
There we go. These are always great fun, aren't they?
Yeah. Sorry, at the minute, I'm in sound design for Winnie the Pooh 2. So, I'm just in the ADR booth doing this.
Right. Double work.
Yeah.
You're playing Christopher Robin in that, am I right?
Yeah, in the sequel, not in the first one.
Yes.
But in the sequel, we recast everything, basically. We started over, basically. The whole film, starts over. So, Reese, the director, was like, oh, would you, because obviously I do acting and producing, and he was like, can you act in as Christopher? And I was like, and he's like, please. And I was like, okay. I'm Christopher Robin.
So it's kind of like an Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2 sort of situation where it's a reboot, remake thing.
I love that you know that. Yeah, 100% is that. With number one, we shot it in 6 days on £20,000. And that same year, we shot 47 feature films. And it was it was just on a conveyor belt. And then it just went, and I was like, fuck. And then, it isn't what I would have made, basically, if I'd have had budget. Whereas number two is what we would have made if we had budget. So, yeah, I'm excited for two because it's genuinely, I genuinely think it's really good and really fun.
And when's that coming out? Halloween, I'm guessing, that sort of time of year, or?
No, it's actually coming out soon. So, I think Fathom Events in America, they're announcing the, because they're really, really, secretive about it. But I think they're really announcing it next week. But I think it's at the end of March it hits cinema. And then Outitude are doing the UK release. I don't know what they've got planned yet, but theirs will be, shortly after. So it'll be very soon, yeah. It's basically done. We're doing final bits. I was doing some ADR, some screaming and stuff about an hour ago. So, yeah.
You've still got your voice then, yeah.
Yeah, it's a little bit croakier than normal because I just go, there's a bit where I'm getting attacked with a chainsaw that's on fire, and I had to do more screams for it because the sound on the day peaked a bit, so I was sat here going,
I don't know how actors do that. I don't know how you can sort of watch and try and match up and sort of make sure the performance isn't either too under or too over.
Do you know what, the screaming's fine, but it's the stuff I had to ADR this bit at the end where on the day, I was crying and stuff. So, I'm going like that at points in the lines. And, my voice will just suddenly drop. And, the performance I really liked. But it was, trying to recreate that voice in, this room is, it was quite hard. And I'm just really hoping it sounds as good because we had to do the sound again because the sound weren't very good, on the day recording. But it's so annoying because as an actor, you're oh, no, I really liked what I did, So
you don't want to ruin the honesty of the performance by kind of too much.
Because on the day, obviously, you were in it, you'd spent time working, getting yourself psyched up and getting the real tears and, getting yourself emotionally at that point of the stakes were so high for the character. Whereas this was quickly just do this bit. And it was just oh, God, I'm trying to recreate this thing that, I don't know. Yeah.
Well, anyway, we'll go Dr. Jekyll. We'll presumably catch up at some point, maybe about...
Totally.
But yeah, so Dr. Jekyll, Hammer film, what's that like being in, almost the last Hammer movie and also the newest Hammer movie? It sort of, it was sort of made as a Hammer film and then they sold the company, wasn't there a bit of... So what's it like working for Hammer?
Yeah, so yeah, when I actually filmed the movie, I didn't know it was Hammer at all. I thought it was just like a UK independent horror movie. And then I feel like it was like the like second to last week, Joe said to me, the director said, oh yeah, Hammer are gonna come and make a set visit. And I was like, what do you mean? And he was like, yeah, I think it's gonna be a Hammer film. And I was like, what? And I was like, I'm a massive horror fan. So I was like, mate, that's amazing. I was like, that's actually incredible. And then they came to the set and met them. I'd already met one of them before. So lovely, so supportive. And we just got on like a house on fire because we're talking about horror films in the corner. And they were there for a good day. They got to see a death scene. And yeah, it was incredible. I feel very lucky to be a part of that family now. Yeah, just incredible.
Yeah, I mean, and there's a history of Hammer reusing actors, so you never know, you might have sort of lifetime employment from it.
Yeah, well, the thing is with Joe, me and Joe are like that. So like my first like lead role was with him, and he just keeps bringing me back time and time again. And I know he has some plans potentially for the future. So hopefully I pop up again as a different, totally different character. That'd be pretty cool.
Right, and so is that how your relationship with him, is that how you got cast in the film? So talk me through that process.
Yeah. So, with Joe, yeah. So I did a film. My very first lead role was Chicken, and that was like an indie drama, and I was just spoil as an actor because the character was so complex. It was like he was on the spectrum. He had Williams syndrome. There's something at the end of the movie that impacts the character's personality. It was an incredibly rich character, and throughout that process of making it, it was my first role, so it was really daunting. Kind of, you don't want to you don't want it to seem like a bad performance. You don't want to mock anyone, it's such a sensitive character. But me and him built this kind of like it's just this trust with him. Like I felt like I could just, at the beginning I was a bit nervous, but after a while I was just going for it, and I was just throwing myself into it really. And it was like if I looked at him, he would just nod and I'd go, okay, cool. Like I just trust him. He won't let me embarrass myself or anyone. So yeah, we built up that trust on that, and then obviously I worked with him several other times like between then and then now. And then in lockdown I got this phone call from him, and he was like, oh, I've just sent you a script in your email. And I was actually walking the dogs, and he was just like, when you get home, like, read it, I think you're gonna like it. And I was like, okay, cool. And he was like, the character's called Rob and all this. I was like, cool. So I got home, read it, and thought it was really, really cool. And I was like, oh, I assume I'm gonna have to audition for this or whatever, like, obviously. And he was like, no, it was written for you, it's yours. And I was like, what? I was like, nah, like, that's so. And he was like, but we are very close, and he knows what I can do and what I love to do as an actor, and we've got very similar styles and stuff. So yeah, it was actually just literally just given to me. So I was incredibly lucky, and I'm just forever thankful. Like, he's such a supporter of me, and in this industry it's you can, as an actor, you can feel very like, it's just so difficult, like it's always the five same people getting used over and over again. And that's why independent film is so important, because it gives people like myself opportunities to lead a film and to show what I can do. Because if this had been a multi-million pound film, I'd have probably never got the role. So yeah.
And you're pretty much, I would say, in every scene. I mean, you are, when you say the star of the movie, you're in like everything. It's not even like you sort of pop in and out. I don't think there's a scene without you from memory, or if there is, it's
No.
like a brief one. Is that
Yeah, I think I'm in
intimidating?
the whole thing. Yeah, I'm in the whole thing. Well, I love it because I just love acting. So like for me, it's like, I absolutely love it. And what's really fun is that as an actor, you get to really sit there and really create like an arc, a beginning, middle, and end, because there is just so much to tell with a character, and he really does start somewhere totally different to how he ends. Which was really, really cool. And I kind of get to play another character towards the end, which I was a mat. I just love playing. I love as an actor just trying to do different stuff. And there was a lot of like emotional an emotional roller coaster with this character, because he goes on a proper journey, and like his hopes, his desires, and it kind of impacts his decisions at times, because he's kind of like, you're following him and you want the best for him, hopefully as an audience. But he's so desperate. Because he's got these stakes, he wants to get his daughter back, but he has to get this job, and he has to do well in maintaining a job. And that is such a great groundwork for someone that might kind of go above and beyond, whereas other people might go, oh, this isn't quite right, don't do that. He will go, I have to do it. So, yeah.
That's it. I mean, he does go on a journey because, you know, you sort of meet him at his lowest point when the film starts. And then, well, by the end, he's really gone on a journey, you know. When you obviously you said that the part was written for you, at what point was Eddie Izzard cast? Was that before you were on board, or how did that all work out?
Yeah, so I was actually the first cast member on board, so I was on this during lockdown, and then it was meant to film the next year, and then it kept getting pushed and moved, and then there were some rewrites for the script and stuff. So it was kind of like 2 years later it actually filmed, so maybe 2 years, something like that, maybe a year and a half, it like filmed. And then Eddie was very last minute, I think. She got the role maybe like 3 weeks before filming, so like really, really close. And by that point, the shoot kept getting pushed back for multiple reasons. So like what it was meant to be like, oh, meant to be filming next week. And then it was like, oh, we're pushing it again. And I was kind of like, you never believe a job's going to happen until you're there on the day. When I got the call from Joe and he was like, I think I've cast Susie Izzard, I was like, what? That's so good. And I was like, I love that. And I love that she loves improv. And like, as an actor, I love improv. And it just works so well with these characters, because with Rob, my character, it's like he's constantly trying to figure her out and is always a step behind. So it's kind of like improv works so beautiful in this dynamic between us, because it's constantly guessing what she might say and what she might do and all this. So yeah, she was a complete pleasure to work with.
Does that keep you on your toes when you're sparring with somebody who is so quick and who's made a career out of being very talkative and intelligent? How does that work for you? Is there intimidation there on your part?
There is, but the thing is, I love improv so much, like, because I there's nothing I can't stand more than just a rehearsed script, and like everyone's like duh, 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 and it's not very natural, you know, like sometimes that you just want to give it something else and all that. And like what with Joe, he would say, you know, do one version as scripted and then let's just see what you come out with. And I love that, because when you've truly worked on the character and you've spent hours working on who he is and, you know, his arc and, you know, you've really like worked him out and all that. It's like, you know how he would approach something, or you know, he might hesitate on something, or, you know, whatnot. The punctuation might be out the window from what's in the script, and you want to just make it feel fresh and new. So yeah, it keeps you on your toes, but I just think it's amazing. I think it's the best way of acting, because it sounds so basic, but like the whole acting is reacting. But the amount of people that do not do that, like, honestly, you'll be in a scene with people and it's like, it's so rehearsed. And it's like, if I change my inflection, they don't change. So you have to just adapt to just doing what they want to do, sort of thing, or what the script says exact. But with Eddie, it was like, if I change my inflection, she gives you something different. And it's like, she's reacting to that change. And that's what I love. It makes it feel on the day just so like you're actually in a moment. And that's what I absolutely love, and that's what I want to do in my career. Like, that's the type of actor I want to be. I want to be a messy actor. I want to be someone that, you know, like, we're not perfect. Like, right now I'll stumble, or, you know, I'll talk and then take a big breath. You know, like, I love that type of performance, and I got to do that with Susie, and I felt very, it just made me feel so fulfilled as an actor. When I'd, you know, walk off set every day, I'd be like, oh yeah, I feel like, you know, we really created some great stuff today. So yeah.
When you're doing that and you're in the moment, is there, because it's a relatively low budget film, is there pressure for you to sort of just go, right, we've got something now that we can work with and move on? Or is it because you don't have executives like breathing down your neck and we can go, well, we can roll past lunch, that's fine? Is there the freedom, or is there still sort of pressure with timings? How does that work?
Yeah, you know what, it's a hard one, because there's always, like, on every set, it's like, I totally respect it, but, like, you know, there's certain heads of the department, they will want to be there and they will want to commit and they will want to get the best they can. But then obviously you have also got respect. There's other people on set that, you know, they kind of do want to clock off at a certain time, da, 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 da. So you are still up against it. So there's definitely like areas where people, you could feel on the day, it was like, oh, let's just do another one and like do this time. And it wasn't just the actors, it would be some heads of department in the crew as well. And obviously the director always wants to, you know, go that extra. But yeah, you still have that time thing. It's not execs on, you know, even on indie films, it is always, you always got to be mindful, you know, like, and I do get it. Cause some jobs that, you know, they're not as creative and, you know, they want to rap and all that kind of stuff. But, there would be some days where it's like, oh God, like we really don't have time. So let's figure this out really quick. And that might be me and Susie quickly running the lines in front of Joe while they're setting the cameras up. And it'd be like, okay, you know, this is the script. This is what this is. And we'll show him the scene basically. And then he'll go, and then we'll go, well, you know, I would love to do that. And then we'll show him, he might go, yeah or no. And then we just quickly just put that in front of the camera. So I think like me and Joe, like we work so like efficiently together. Like me and Joe is so like black and white. I know if he likes something, if he doesn't, I just change it straight away. And with Joe, I don't really mess about, for example, and neither does Susie. It's like, you just say what you want and we just do it. And it can be in simple terms. It doesn't have to be this like, oh, I love what you did, but blah, blah, blah. You know, no messing about. It's just like, oh, just do that. And it's like, cool, got it. Do you know what I mean? So we're very efficient, I'd say, the trio of us. It was very good.
And what was the shooting schedule like on the film? Was it sort of a couple of weeks? Was it, how many days did you have?
Yeah, so I think we filmed for like 6 or 7 weeks. And it was, you know, the worst thing about it is just so cold. Like that house we filmed in, because it was like, I think we filmed in like, yeah, it was like February. It was just ice cold. Like, cause we actually lived in that house as well. And like, I had one of the bedrooms and oh my God. I remember on the first night, I was like, fuck. And I was like, it was so cold. I literally had my hoodie on in bed and stuff. And I didn't want to be annoying because I produce films. So I don't want to be that annoying type of actor. And I was like, you know, I'm fine, but my sleep is honestly, to me, like I have to sleep properly. Do you know what I mean? Otherwise I get like so tired the next day. And I was just like, oh, I might just go and grab a hotel up the road just because, you know, I'll be awake. And they were like, what's up? And I was like, no, nothing. And I was like, I was just like a bit cold. And then that night I went in and it was like all these radiators. It was just, they're so sweet. But it's just, I think that was the hardest thing. It was just so bloody cold, you know, like that house, like it is so big and it's so, I think, hard to keep that heated, you know, and the whole film is in that house. It's bloody ice cold. So that was the hardest thing.
It's a great location though. I mean, the film looks probably 10 times the budget because you've got that house. I mean, that's fantastic location work, which must work for you as an actor as well.
Yeah, look, the thing is that the fact that I actually lived there, and like, you know, with Rob, he gets this job and, you know, he, and my bedroom was actually my character's bedroom. Like I actually had that bedroom. So it's really nice actually being there. Like I totally love it. Like I love like really immersing myself. Like I'm very, because I come from like producing as well, and I'm so used to wearing so many hats. Like on the day, like with Dr. Jekyll, I'd be very happy to help in any area, like any. I was just like, you know, if you need me or anything, like let's. You know, I'm not that type of actor that I just do my thing. It's like if you need me to help with making props or whatever, I'll just give it a go. So I love being a part of a collaboration, and that's the good thing about like indie film, is that like all departments talk to each other. Like there's no like walls up. It's not like you get to set and I'm just an actor and the only person I talk to is like, you know, the AD and that's it, pretty much it. It's like, you know, it's such a collaboration. Like you can go up to any department and you just have a little chat. So yeah, everyone really got on that. It's such a lovely experience.
Well, that's it. I mean, and I think when actors are in an environment where they get along with people, I mean, people always talk about chaos on film sets, but most people I've spoken to, a happy set makes a better performance.
Yeah, totally, totally, totally. And it's like, you know, like it's not just about the actors, it's about like the crew, like they're like actor wise, right? Like you're there for your scenes, and you know when you're not needed you get downtime or you get hot drinks, or you know once you wrap you go straight home in the car and all that kind of stuff. But the crew as well, it's like, you know, it's so important that everyone does get on and everyone's friendly and you don't have attitudes and all that on set, because you know they're there for the first there and they're the last there, you know, and they're bloody cold as well. They're all in the same situations, they don't get downtime. But the thing is, because we all got on and stuff, and I feel like it was like truly just everyone was like so friendly with one another. It just made the experience better and it made everyone's attitudes better, and you wanted to make a good film for each other. Do you know what I mean?
Yep. And once you'd finished the film, it got a big premiere as well. It wasn't just sort of released. I mean, a big sort of Leicester Square premiere. What was that like? Sort of, did you know that was that in the pipeline, or did that come after the whole Hammer thing? What, how did that come about?
No, that was not in the pipeline. I was not expecting that. I got told about the premiere. I thought it'd be like kind of like just a bit like a screening, maybe with like free photographers or something like that. And I get there on the day, and my mum and my dad came from Essex, and they like teared up, and they were like, I think it was so surreal. It was like, you know, I've been acting for so long, and it's just, I've had so many knockbacks with it all. It's just so difficult to just crack into this. It is so hard. And it was just like, wow, like seeing this massive poster. And then when I came out that night, like, they were still building it, and we came there, and there's all these photographers. It was just so surreal. I really had to pinch myself, and just how lucky that, you know, I might not ever experience that again. And just, you know, just unfortunate that I got to experience it, and I got to experience it in such amazing company, like with really good friends. And just, it was just incredible. Like, it really was incredible. I look back and I'm just like, as if that happened, like, as if for an indie little horror film, like, as if,
Well,
like,
that's
so no,
yeah.
no idea.
That's a lot of the times they just sort of, you know, even big horror movies just kind of they end up being released, but you got the big treatment.
No, and yeah, I know, and the amount of money that must have cost is just crazy. But I guess it was Hammer trying to make their big, you know, we're back sort of thing, and like to kind of really show it and like say like we really are here now and we mean it and stuff. And John, who like now owns the company, is so lovely, like so down to earth. And I met him at the premiere for the first time, and he did a speech, and he had a video that played. Like basically a look back at Hammer, and you know what they want to do with Hammer, and it was just such, that was like, I'm a genuinely a horror fan, so I was watching it just like kind of forgetting that I was in a movie that I was about to play, and I was just so into it, and I was just like, oh, this is so incredible. And I really hope they're like the UK Blumhouse, because we're like, it's mad that we don't have anything like that in the UK, you know, like and the funding opportunities and the production companies, that is so limiting, isn't it? Like I think that, like, just from producing myself, it's like all my money comes from America, and it'd be so nice to kind of like make more films in the UK. And horror's got such a dedicated audience. The horror fans, they always show up to the cinemas, and yeah, I just feel like Hammer Horror, like, come on, like they've got such great like characters that they've created in the past, and it's like it would be so cool to see them reimagined, a bit like what Talk to Me did, because such a clever way of like reimagining like a Ouija board, I think, you know, it's such a great movie that. And it's like I can imagine Hammer doing a bit of that with some of their, you know, their characters. So hopefully we'll get
Yep,
more.
that's it. I mean, it's such a brand. I mean, I grew up watching Hammer, you know, sort of probably
Same.
too young for it, but you know, it's sort of it does strike a conjure up so many images, you know, in your head, and it's every so often it sort of resurrects itself, pun intended, and then sort of it seems to go away. So hopefully this time it's back
I
for good, like
know.
you said, it becomes a Blumhouse style company.
No, John made a massive point of saying like, I have the company and I'm here to stay sort of thing. He made a massive point at the premiere saying that, because I think he is aware that kind of like, you know, it's so crazy, because like Women in Black was so successful, it was so well done and all that, and it was like, and then it kind of just vanished again. But no, I think John really has like he really has like a vision for this company, and I think he's, you know, he's gonna happen. So yeah, I think so.
Well, fingers crossed.
Yeah.
And speaking of next things, obviously I'll wrap things up now because I know you've got to get back to work, but you've got Winnie the Pooh you're putting the finishing touches to. What's next? What else have you got in the pipeline, either as an actor or a producer?
Yeah, so acting wise, I'm just auditioning at the moment. I've got nothing coming out, unfortunately. So yeah, just typical. But I have got something that I'm producing. It's called How to Tell a Lie, and it's based on a true crime from the 70s. It's set modern day, and I can't really say much about it, but I'm working with Jason Taylor on it. He produced incredible works like Sissy, which is a horror independent film, which was incredible, and he's worked on like X-Men and all that kind of stuff. We met years ago on a film where I was like a smaller role, and we just have similar tastes, and we're working on this project together that I'm gonna hopefully be the lead character in and also produce it. And then I've got a little universe coming producing wise with my Winnie the Pooh. We're doing Pinocchio and we're doing Peter Pan as horror films. Right. And we've got more coming that we're going to be announcing soon. So we're making our own little universe there. So maybe I'll be back as Christopher in a later movie. Who knows?
Cool. I'll keep an eye out. Again, it's a pleasure sort of chatting with you today. I really enjoyed your performance in the film. I do mean that.
Well, thank you.
You know, and it's like I said, it's great to see Hammer back. And I look forward to seeing what you're doing and screaming and everything in Winnie the Pooh when it comes out in a few months.
Yeah. I think you'll have a fun time with it. Go in it. It's popcorn horror, but it's actually got heart to it this time. You'll enjoy it, I think. Yeah.
Great. Well, I look forward to it, and we'll catch up again when you're doing the rounds for that one.
Totally. All right. Have a lovely day.
I hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Movies in Focus podcast. You can download it wherever you get your podcasts, and I hope that you tell your friends about it. That's it for this time, and I'll see you at the movies.